The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, what are they doing? What is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at the hardness of their heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. As the congregation is seated, I invite my young friends forward, calling all kids. All right, Jenny. No Grant this morning, buddy. You got this. Hey, what happens next week? It's the end of school. Are you a little excited? Kind of. You don't have to get up in the morning. You can watch more TV. Oh, I bet you're a little excited. We were talking at first service this morning when there were all the kids up here about what we were going to do this summer. And some said that they're going to ride their bikes and play video games. And some said they're going to go on vacation and go to camp. Does that sound like good stuff to do this summer? Yeah? Okay. Well, one of the things that I reminded them of, that I know you already know, is to make time for God in our summer. And how are some ways we can do that? We thought of some. What do you think? What about going to camp? Does that sound fun? Or Bible school? Or coming to church? Those were all things that we came up with. And that's a reminder to grown-ups, too, that time to make God for time in our lives. God is always with us, but sometimes we get so busy we forget that. And summertime is a good reminder of being at peace with God and knowing that God is around us. You knew all this already, didn't you? Yeah. All right. Let's say a prayer. Good morning, God. Thank you for this day. And for the gift of taking time to love you. Help us remember to do that often. We love you, God. Amen. Boy, they go faster when there's only one. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the unique perspectives that Pastor Lori and I have in our ministry is that more often than not, when we ask people how they're doing, they're more likely to give us an honest answer than most other people in life. When we ask each other how we're doing, we just say fine or good and leave it at that, but we hear more. And what we've come to discover most often is a shared answer that transcends the generations, that old and young and all in between and like are willing to truly offer when they're being honest with how they're doing. Those two simple words, I'm tired. I'm tired. It wouldn't surprise me today if many of you come to worship tired. The pace of life and all that is expected in our lives is tiring. For our young people who have been pushed through studying and exams and the teachers who administer the EOGs, they're tired. For young parents who never know when sleep will be interrupted by a nightmare or a glass of water, whatever it might be, constantly chasing the kids of the day. They're tired. For those who keep up with careers that draw them all sorts of directions in the busyness of life, they're tired. For others whose bodies cause them to be more tired because of pain or that medicine which just doesn't help them to sleep at night, are tired. For those who have much on their hearts, where the anxiety of life can get the best of us, are tired. We come before God when we worship to admit and to acknowledge that life is tiring, that it can be daunting and overwhelming. And whether we're retired or nowhere close, being tired is a fact of life. In fact, in some strange and weird way, I've seen it in my society and in my generation become a badge of honor. The more tired we are, the more successful we are, the more that we fit on our plate, the more that we can do. It seems ridiculous, but somehow that comes to shape. And so in the midst of all that, when we gather together for worship, we long for something different. We long for what we're told to include in our lives, what we heard reminded in the words of Deuteronomy 5 this morning. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Remember to rest. Now, the Ten Commandments appear two different times in the Old Testament. The first time they appear in Exodus 20, and that's the point where Moses receives them from God, the point that we like to think of the Charlton Heston scene in the movie where the tablets are having a laser printer do their work. But here in Deuteronomy, the second time that these commandments appear, no longer is it the historical value of God presenting God's people with the rules of life to live by, but here in Deuteronomy, it is the reminder of the relationship which God gives them. And so I had a professor who taught Old Testament at the seminary who would often remind us, in one of the most profound things that he would teach in class, that the Ten Commandments are not rules we live by, but rather gifts that frame our relationship with God. I'll say that again. The Ten Commandments are not rules we live by, but rather gifts that frame our relationship with God. And so when we proclaim, "Thou shalt not kill," it's not hard for most of us to not kill one another. But when we see that as a gift, that gift is the gift of life and the gift of creation. And our charge to care for that gift of life in our own bodies and in those around us and the gift that God has given us. When we proclaim, "Thou shalt not steal," we are not simply concerned about taking something that doesn't belong to us, but seeing the gift and the framework in which God truly gives us everything that we need to lead our lives. When we say, "Thou shalt not bear false witness," it's not simply about not lying, but rather presenting others in the best light. As Luther said in his response to the Eighth Commandment, thinking about our neighbor in the most positive framework we can. And so here, on this day, as that those verses from Deuteronomy 5 capture the third commandment, to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, we're reminded that the gift in that is the gift of relationship with God, which draws us into a place of rest, where we come as tired and weary souls in the world to seek the gift of rest, the gift of peace. But that is only the first layer of this gift. That's what Jesus conveys in this message we see from our gospel this day, when he says straight to the Pharisees, who he knows who are trying to trap him, who he knows are trying to get him caught up in law of Sabbath, and to know that if he does anything, even picking grains on the Sabbath, they can bust him. And they wait to watch him heal so that they have another thing to charge him with. But in the midst of all of that, Jesus says to those gathered, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath." The Sabbath was made for humankind. God recognized that in our lives, we need this place of pause. And to truly understand what the gift of rest is, I ask that we delve deeper into that Hebrew word that we know, Shabbat, Sabbath, to see its even deeper meaning. And to understand truly what this gift is and why Christ needed to come into the world and proclaim it in such a clear way to those who wanted otherwise. Because that gift, that word, does not simply mean to rest. God is not gifting us a nap. But what it means is to cleanse everything else from our lives, to press the pause button on the world around us, to rest our minds so that we might be fully focused on God and God's love for us. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm convinced that almost every one of you, at some point during our worship time these first 25 minutes today, has thought about something going on in your life, something that you need to get from the store on your way home from church, something that you have to add to your to-do list this week, right? We're human. We do that. I've done that already. That's who we are. We live in a world where that idea that we would pause and set aside everything else in our lives to just be with God seems so countercultural that Sabbath sounds like a joke. The idea that we would set aside social media and relationship and stress and all the burdens of life for even just a few moments, we know how hard it would be to do a day. To just pause and be with God. And yet that's what we're reminded of in this gift of this commandment. That after everything we go through in life, that just as indeed God created the world in 6 days to bring us this moment of rest, if God can do that, why can't we do that in our feeble lives? To turn things off. To set aside our anxieties, to press the pause button on our burdens, to release ourselves from all those things in our lives that take hold of us, and to cleanse, to Shabbat, to let them go, to be with God. I know how hard that is. I know that it seems daunting even just to think about that because I myself struggle with that. I live in a world of busyness. I live in a place where everyone thinks that busy equals productive. I've been told so many times by you already to slow down. Yet I don't. Because in the brokenness of this world and life, it's go, go, go. And that's who we are. And that's what we're conditioned to be, no matter whether we're speaking up front or sitting out there. That's what the world has created. And so to truly be countercultural, to truly be as radical as Jesus was to the Pharisees this day, we have to find a way to reach out with our withered hands to God and to trust that God will bless us with Sabbath. In a few moments, we'll sing a familiar song that has been sung by the oppressed for generations. And it's often those who are most oppressed who have the ability to sing this song most clearly, knowing that they do indeed need to Shabbat, to pause, and to give time to God. And so whatever oppresses you in life, the burden of caring for a loved one who is ill, the burdens we create in our own minds, the burdens that the world places upon us, the burdens that don't even exist, yet we think follow us. Whatever burdens us, we reach out our withered hand, and we are reminded that the Sabbath was made for humankind because we need it so much. Precious Lord, take my hand Thanks be to God.